In 2 days' time, I will have been the vicar at St. Andrews for 8 years, which is kind of incredible. It's been a joy-filled 8 years, and it feels like, it's funny, like being the vicar for 8 years feels like you really begin to get a kind of long view of life at St. Andrews, but still feels like, if I'm honest, it's this part of it that still feel new and just like we're getting started. So that's, yeah, it's funny, kind of 8 years. 8 years will do that to you. So I'm reminded as I think about that, because certainly not about me being here for 8 years. That's not the focus of what an APCM should be about, absolutely. I'm reminded actually as I think about that with thankfulness, I'm reminded of that image in the letter to the Hebrews where the writer says that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And actually, we, as this church family, in this moment of time, we're here because of the faithfulness in some ways of previous generations and the saints that have gone before us, some of whom are represented here today. One of the joys about being a church is that we get to follow Jesus together, standing on the shoulders of others, as God invites us to do something new in our time. So there's celebration of the past and a joyful responsibility as we look to the future. And in some ways, that is also the backdrop of this strange and unusual parable, this brilliant story that we're going to hold alongside our APCM today, our annual meeting. Fiona mentioned last week that the parables are designed to grab our attention and draw us in through storytelling. They're often vivid and arresting images with dramatic twists, and today is no exception. And the art of Jesus' storytelling and the art of parables, what they're meant to do is they're meant to cut to the heart and invite us to ask questions. They're meant to invite us to consider our relationship with God and through them to lean in with wonder and curiosity. So if you're curious about that story you just heard Marlon read, then the parable has done its job. If you're asking questions, then the parable has done its job. It's important to know why this story, though, is being told, because it's unusual, it's strange, it's a bit weird. And actually, if we don't understand why Jesus is telling this story, we come to the wrong conclusions. Because Jesus, if you rewind, Jesus has just spoken some firm words of truth to the religious leaders. So to the priests and vicars of his day, he's just given them a bit of a ticking off. And he's actually predicted that the temple, the place that they believed where heaven and earth most naturally met, because that's what the temple was about, was going to be destroyed. And this had caused his friends, the disciples, to ask when God's kingdom was going to be fully established. Because if the temple was going, if that was the place where heaven and earth met, what is God going to do to create a new place where heaven and earth are going to meet? Because they believe that the temple was just temporary. So if Jesus is talking about the destruction of the temple, surely he's going to talk about establishing God's kingdom, God's rule and reign, God's reality, what it looks like when God is calling the shots. Then Jesus tells a series of stories. And this isn't the only one. If you rewind, there's some others. But it does include this one in response to his firm words to the religious leaders and the destruction of the temple. And these stories are all about what it means to live between the time of Jesus' death, life, death, and resurrection, and the time when he will come again to establish his rule and his reign in all of its fullness. That's what the people of Israel were longing for. That's what Jesus inhabited in who he is. That's what he, and so they were naturally asking these questions. And Jesus wants his followers, and the reason for these stories all have a similar theme, because Jesus wants his followers to be ready to be alert. And there's this sense of active waiting running through all of these stories. And you can kind of see that in this one, can't you? They're sent to do something and for when the master returns. So just hold all of that context in your mind and your heart as we look at this story. Because we've chosen to center our active waiting until Jesus returns. It's not a passive waiting around with our ticket for heaven kind of life. It's a get involved, let's participate in the kingdom and long for Jesus's return kind of active waiting. And we've chosen to center that active waiting around a call to love God, build community, and celebrate life. That's our vision here at St. Andrew's. It's kind of open, and there's lots that we can do with that. It's not restrictive. It's kind of, you know, there's some big things that we can hang all sorts of exciting stuff on. And I want to pull out some observations from this parable, and I hope they're an encouragement to us as we give thanks for what has done us. We will give thanks in our kind of meeting part after this meeting, as we give thanks for all that God is doing amongst us. So as we seek to love God as a church, what does this story tell us about what God's love looks like? What does this story tell us about what it means to love God? I think the first thing it does is it shows us that God's love is generous, and that he entrusts us through his love with his kingdom. It's not a passive waiting for Jesus to return. It's an active, exciting, get stuck in, roll your sleeves up kind of waiting. It says, he called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To be people who worship God from a place of love means to be those who participate in the world that he has created. It's worth being reminded today that Jesus trusts us. He trusts you. He trusts me. Some people are and have stepped into new responsibility this year in the life of the church. That's really exciting. People have chosen to roll their sleeves up in a new kind of a way. Jesus trusts you. Some of us have been serving here faithfully for many, many years. Jesus sees that. He sees it. Even if you don't think others always see it, Jesus sees it. And he trusts you. He trusts you with his kingdom. You and me. It's exciting. And we don't do it alone. We are given the resources of God's kingdom. I love the post-communion prayer that we often say here. It kind of stirs my heart every time we say it. When we receive bread and wine, these symbols of all that Jesus has done for us, we stand and we pray together. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and to work to your praise and glory. We're fed, and then when we're meant to kind of burn that energy off, worshiping God for the whole of the week, in all sorts of areas, in our family, in our work, in our leisure, in just living the good kind of a life that Jesus calls us to live. This is God's vision for his people, that we are given God's resources to live God's life in the place that he has called us. And we always want to be a church that encourages life beyond 2 hours or an hour and a half, or hopefully, it sounds by the response of some of you, just an hour on a Sunday. You know, it's meant to fuel us for the rest of the week. The religious leaders of Jesus' day had squandered the love of God and failed to live up to their original calling given to Abraham and the people of Israel to be a people who had received God's blessing and knew what it meant to bless other people. That's why Jesus shares some firm words with them, because they'd squandered the love of God. They'd just taken it and they'd not allowed it to go in and then out of them. This had been lost, and Jesus is using this story to show the vicars of his day that reality. The other thing that story tells us is that that God's love is generous. God's love is generous. Scholars estimate that a bag of gold, sometimes if you've got an older translation, it's talent. And that doesn't mean, you know, ride a unicycle cycle and juggle at the same time. Not that kind of talent, although good that talent may be if you can do it. It just means a large amount of money, hence the kind of more up-to-date translation of bag of gold. But scholars estimate that one bag of gold could have been anywhere between 5 and 20 years' wages. So it's worth knowing that God is generous with all three individuals in this story. You see, we go into comparison mode and we think, oh, lucky guy with the 5, or medium guy with the 3, what about the guy with the 1? It's worth remembering that one bag of gold is incredibly generous. 5 to 20 years' worth of wages. It's a life-changing amount of money, to quote people that win the lottery. It's incredible that God has given us so much. He's given us one another. He's given us resources with which to help us on the journey together and to bless others. And most importantly, God has given us himself. He's poured his love out to us. He's given us all of himself in the person of Jesus through the power of the Spirit. God's love is generous. That's the big takeaway from this story. And then when we look to the second dynamic of the story, we're not invited, as I said, to be passive within the story of God's love. We're called to build community. We're called to do something with the resources and the love that God has so generously given to us. And I love the distinction we discover in the story. It says, to the one who received 5 bags of gold, to one received 5 bags, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to their ability. I think that's really, really encouraging. Each of us have different things to offer. Each of us bring different strengths and abilities, not in comparison to one another, but each simply according to our ability. This is a story about investment, and God simply asks that we invest. If you've not been given 5 bags of gold, God's not asking you to invest 5 bags of gold. We bring different things to this table. And it's not about comparing the 5 and the 3 and the 1. That's not what this story is about. It's simply asking that we invest something according to our ability. In the society, in this church, in the community, in the wider community, in our networks, in our families, with our neighbors, on our streets, within a particular cause for justice, we get to simply offer something according to our ability. So, St. Andrews, what is your ability? What's your passion? If it's creation care, invest according to your ability. If it's music, invest according to your ability. If it's welcoming refugees, helping those who are struggling as the result of the rising cost of living, invest according to your ability. If it's a kind of a gift for strategy and organization, invest according to your ability. If it's encouraging young people, invest according to your ability. If it's hospitality, invest according to your ability. Do you get the picture? It's incredible. It's not comparing one thing to the other. It's just getting stuck in with what we have. That's the freedom in this story. The second part of our vision, as I've said, is to build community. As we build community, it strikes me that there is one thing not to do if we're going to take this story seriously. The one thing not to do is bury our bag of gold. Because what you bring matters. Matters to God. It matters to those around you. It matters to those not yet within the sphere of God's love. It matters. What you bring matters. And it's worth much more than simply coming along to a service, leaving your bag of gold under the pew, and coming back next week to give it a kick to see if it still jingles, to stretch the analogy somewhat. As we build together, we each bring something according to our ability. Because life isn't for burying in the ground, it's for celebrating. Life isn't for burying in the ground, it's for celebrating. And so the third part of our vision at St. Andrew's is to celebrate life. It's one of my favorites. I love them all, but I love this. I love how the Master celebrates life with those who choose to invest. And it's exactly the same kind of celebration regardless of return. Have you noticed that he treats the person with two bags of gold exactly the same as the one with five? No could have done better. They each get an A star star, even though they invest differently. I love it. I love it. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? What you bring matters. Jesus says you've already got an A. This isn't some story about earning God's love and approval based on our results. It's not a story about trying harder, but a story about grace-filled opportunities to partner with God and in all of creation, and an invitation that's about every area of our lives. That we take the love offered to us freely and we invest it in a way that multiplies, to pull in the story from last week that Fiona shared with us. God celebrates with us and we get to be in on the fruitfulness of God's kingdom. We get to be in on the joy of it multiplying. We get to join in with the happiness of God. Come and share in your Master's happiness, they're told. It seems that we get to share in the investment, but more importantly, in the joy, because that's how you can also translate happiness here, in the joy that it brings. And that's why participating in the building up and the growing and the investing is one of the keys to happiness and joy. Trust me, burying your bag of gold in the ground will not bring you joy. Investing in it according to your ability will bring you joy. So I'm so thankful and I'm thrilled with the different ways that we've invested our bags of gold over the last year and a half. And whether we've been able to bring much or little or something in between, which is often the story, then God's response is joy. It's been a struggle for us again the last year in lots of different ways. And I don't need to tell you about that. But God's response, even in the struggle, is joy, is cheering on. We are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, Hebrews says. God is cheering us on. And it wouldn't be doing justice to the story to not mention our one bag of gold guy, because I know that's the person that you're probably all thinking about. What about that dude? Because this is the hard part of this story. But I think why celebrating the life that God has given us is so important. The one bag of guy, one bag of gold guy, dude, whatever. He's the reason to remind us why it's important to invest and in celebrate. Because the person with one bag of gold has an interesting view of who he's serving that prevents him from doing anything. And it's the one bag of gold guy and his view of God that's so fascinating. His view of the Master that's so fascinating in this story. It says that he was afraid, and so he hid his bag of gold in the ground. And we're told why he did that. Because he knew his Master was a hard man, harvesting and gathering where he had not sown or scattered. That's the conversation that he has when the Master challenges him about why he hid it. He was afraid, and he knew his Master was hard. But is it true? Is it true? That's the question, isn't it, for us this morning? Is the master hard? Is he hard? Is this the kind of picture we know of Jesus who's telling the story? That's what you need to ask. Is Jesus hard? Is Jesus unkind? Is Jesus that kind of master? Is it even the kind of picture of the master that Jesus is telling? Let's look back in the story. No, it's not, is it? It's not the kind of picture we have of Jesus, and it's not even the kind of picture that's painted up until this point in the story. No, we know that Jesus is kind to those who find themselves struggling. He actually goes out of his way to invest and share all of he is with those who show weakness or vulnerability. Think of the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee goes in with all of his confidence and all of his bluster. The tax collector stands at a distance, bows his head, beats his chest and says, "Have mercy on me, God, a sinner." And Jesus looks at those two people in that story and says, the tax collector goes away right with God. Jesus is kind to those who display weakness and vulnerability. He is not hard. But this person has created an image of the master out of fear that is inconsistent with the nature and the love of God. In their fear of failure, they've simply done nothing. Fear has paralyzed them into doing nothing. And this person with one bag of gold, dude, has created a narrative that isn't reality. He's got the master all wrong. He's misread him. He sees that he is successful, but he has missed that he is a joyful master who wants to share his happiness with the people that he invests in. That's the picture of the master. That's the true reality of who they are all serving. And so God is all about life in abundance. That's the God that we serve. But this person in fear has created for themselves a place of isolation and darkness. So all the difficult stuff about being thrown out into darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, that's the narrative that the one bag of gold guy has created for himself. This is an encouragement from Jesus to embrace life afresh, to focus on participating fully in God's reality in a way that blesses us. We get to share in the joy and blesses others. It's an encouragement that in the life and the economy of God, it's okay to take a risk. It's okay to take a risk. We don't have to bury the life that God has given us to preserve it. We can take a risk. We can invest it because God is joyful and kind. It's a reminder that it's okay to invest beyond our walls. In fact, that's what we're called to do. That's what this life in Jesus is all about. So let's be encouraged afresh through our vision to love God, build community, and celebrate life. And remember that full happiness and joy is found not through burying our life in the ground, but through participating in God's reality that is already ours. So much so that we can be so free to share it joyfully, because it's life in abundance. Whether you're a five bag of gold kind of person, whether you're a three bag of gold kind of a person, or whether you're even a one bag of gold kind of a person, we have the freedom to share life joyfully with one another and others. I went on a clergy conference. This bit isn't in my notes, so I'm going to say it really quick. I went on a clergy conference Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And it's really interesting going with this story kind of in my head. Because trust me, you go on a clergy conference and you meet a lot of kind of five bag of gold kind of people. You know, you can imagine that kind of clergy person. There's certain... Hello? Oh. We just died there for a minute. You know, and, you know, they've got five bag of gold kind of churches. And it's so easy to compare ourselves to others. But I was just reminded and encouraged that we each invest according to our ability. It's so easy to get imposter syndrome somewhere like that. But actually, God has called each of us to something different. And the narrative is, even if we're a three bag of gold kind of a person or a one bag, just don't bury it. That's all that we're called to not to do. Let's not bury it in the ground. Let's invest it. We can take a risk because God is good. And we've done that this year, and that is so exciting. We've started new ministries. We've resurrected other people have returned. New people are around with different things to offer according to their ability. And so it's really, really exciting. God's economy is good. We get to invest as we choose to love God together, build community, and celebrate life. Let's not bury it. Let's invest it.